Matters. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Many of today's students don't know life before the internet or cell phones. iPads and podcasts are slowly replacing textbooks and the traditional lecture in classrooms, but those changes could start rapidly accelerating in the next few years. Many schools have embraced technology both in and out of the classroom. With a growing recognition that students learn in different ways, a concept known as blended learning is taking root in many Wisconsin schools. The La Crosse School District, UW-La Crosse, and the Wisconsin Technology Initiative hosted a workshop on blended learning this week for area educators. I sat down with UW-La Crosse Special Education Professor Carol Angel, La Crosse Central High School Library Media Specialist Director Cindy Halter, and La Crosse School's Director of Information Technology, Vicki Lyons, to talk about the concept. Vicki Lyons starts out by explaining what blended learning is.
Blended learning is the concept of bringing in different technological resources to support classroom learning so that students have access to information and resources 24/7. It also allows a classroom teacher to modify the strategies that they use in the classroom and not necessarily be in front of the class all of the time, but that the teacher is able to provide content to students in a different way and then be available to them during class time to be their guide, be their facilitator of learning, observe for assessments, and look at ways to really help those students who need that help and allow the students who have got it already to move on.
I'd like to just add in that blended learning really allows the teacher to more effectively use their time for those kids that need it. Not only does it provide access, but it's efficiency of instruction, where a lot of our students will struggle and the teacher will not catch that they struggle. So this really allows the teacher to focus in on those that aren't succeeding.
And this week, the Blended Learning Institute's taking place at UW-La Crosse. And Vicki, I met with you yesterday during the first day of the institute. And one thing that struck me was you talked about how the classrooms are now changing from a teacher-centered emphasis to a student-centered emphasis. Can you elaborate on that?
Sure. In a teacher-centered environment, it's what most of us experienced in our education, where our teacher stood in front, did diagrams on the board, explained concepts, and then we took our homework with us and we did it at home that night. And we did it well, but, you know, who did we have to help us along the way? Well, we had our parents, and they could do a lot for us. We had brothers and sisters. But if we got stuck, we were kind of stuck until the next day when we got back to school. So this concept is to say, okay, do your homework, but what you're going to do is you're going to gather the content, student. And then when you come into my classroom, I'm going to focus my expertise on helping you to learn where you are at and where you need to go. So it moves away from that whole class instruction into the environment where an individual student is able to control a bit more of their learning.
And Carol, as you talked about, because each classroom has students of all different skill levels, so with blended learning, how is the teacher able to look at either groups of students or individual students and say, okay, this is what you need and this is what this other student needs?
It really goes back to the planning. When the teacher decides what concept or competency they want to learn or want to teach or have the children experience, they plan in advance for that. So they have extended activities where they might have students use a particular kind of technology or a particular activity, and they can work on their own, as well as now the teacher can focus in on those other students, provide them with a different activity or a different technology so that their learning is enhanced where they are in terms of their skill level.
And sometimes you don't even have to move the source of the technology. Mm-hmm. The resources that are coming out now are just wonderful, where you can be in one resource and level it to the reading level of that student. So you can be into a digital encyclopedia and based on the reading level take one topic and then have that student read at the level that they are able to read at or have it read to them. There's so much now with the technology that allows for the differentiation to happen right in the classroom as long as the teacher is aware of the tool and what resources are out there. And that's the big leap for teachers who have been in the field, as long as someone like me, you know, I mean, 15, 20, 25 years, that's a huge shift for teachers. And what's nice about this Blended Learning Institute is that it's both the teachers who are coming into the field now, as well as those of us who have been in the field for a long time. And so there's a lot of learning that can happen there, too, just different perspectives and what could happen in the classroom.
And this all boils down to kids being incredibly savvy with technology, correct? I mean, I'll see toddlers playing games on their parents' cell phones, and you know, there are students who don't even know life without the internet, yeah. Which is, I'm not that old, but that's hard for me to imagine. So, Cindy, I mean, with the La Crosse Public Schools, is that why this is needed? Is because students are increasingly more and more technologically savvy?
It has been a really big eye-opener the last few years where the students know how to literally almost access the information better than the teacher. I mean, I'll just say it that, you know, you've seen it. The kids able to just get there and do a search. My own children can do better than me sometimes, and I'm supposed to be an expert at it, right? So It is, there's so many resources out there, but I think what the teacher can do is to help them figure out what's credible, you know, what is a good source versus just a Googled source, and, you know, the most popular hit isn't necessarily the choice for an academic setting.
Think twice about Wikipedia.
Exactly. So, you know, the technology is there. We need to embrace it. It's wonderful, you know, but it comes with its challenges, too.
Go ahead, Vicki.
Well, and I think that we make some assumptions when we say that our kids are really good with the technology. What they're good at is navigating it. They aren't necessarily good at, as Cindy said, deciphering the information, summarizing the information, creating new knowledge from what they've been exposed to. So all the pieces that we've done in education over all these years, we need to hold on to, and we need to make them even better. Those instructional strategies that we use to have kids communicate and collaborate and work together and have them move from an individual learner to an environment where they can share. So the technology that they can navigate is one thing, and we get enamored by the fact that they can text fast and they can find an app and they can do those things. But our job is now to dig deeper, and our job is to say, okay, what do they really need to know, and how can they build those reading skills and those math skills and then apply them and be able to evaluate good information and be able to problem solve with the information that they've gained.
So why is it that the traditional classroom setting with the teacher standing at the front lecturing, what is it about that isn't working in education anymore?
Engagement. Students need to be engaged in whatever it is they're doing, and the technology provides a purpose. We just simply guide the navigation. We guide the purpose for the tool. Therefore, they answer their own questions.
And students are, we're finding as we listen to our business partners and the folks that hire our students and we want them to be innovative and creative, what we're finding is that classroom environment where we survived in no longer meets that need. We need to create an environment that our students can experience life in a way that they will experience as adults. None of us works in isolation. The folks in our business community, in our innovative businesses, and those that are being creative, they all know that we have to find that collective knowledge. And so sometimes it's appropriate to stand in front of a class and provide information. It's the most efficient way to do that. The key is to know when to do that, and when, as Carol has said, when to get those students engaged, because they expect that engagement. And we need to build upon that expectation.
I'm curious if that method of teaching ever really did work. I mean, because I still doodled in class and passed notes to
exactly.
My friends, and that was before the internet was around.
Right.
I think we moved a different, in terms of learning, we moved from the strictly competitive, I'm the disseminator of knowledge, to now it's definitely a collaborative world. And to teach collaboration, you can't talk about it. You have to do it.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Newsmakers. My guests today are Carol Angel. She's a UWL professor of special education,
Vicki Lyons is the Director of Technology at the School District of La Crosse, and Cindy Halter is a Library Media Specialist at Central High School. So, Vicki or Cindy, I'm wondering if you can talk about different ideas that the La Crosse Public School District has in regards to maybe shifting towards blended learning. What are you encouraging teachers to do? Vicki, do you want to go first? And then maybe, Cindy, do you want to talk about some ideas that you've possibly come up with?
Sure.
Sure, I'll talk about from the district perspective. Over the last 3 years, we have tried in earnest to provide tools and resources to our teachers that allow them to build upon their excellent instructional strategies that they already use. And because we have some of the best in La Crosse schools. And so we're putting systems in place, infrastructure in place, to take down the barriers that technology can sometimes put there for them so that they can just focus on that learning. So we have online resources as a course of action for them. We provide professional development for them. We do a lot of teaming, where our library media specialists in this district are really our teachers that work with their colleagues and provide those electronic resources, provide that staff development, and help them do that. So besides that, we work very heavily with the curriculum development side of things. We have done work with the Common Core in both English language arts and math, and the whole concept of technology integration is very strong in those areas. So from the system perspective, we're trying to pave the way for our teachers to be able to do the things they need to do with technology and learning.
So Cindy, how are you working with teachers at Central?
So last year was my first year at Central, and we've done a lot of things trying to collaborate. I mean, that is the struggle for a library media specialist, to make sure that we're working in collaboration with the teachers who are in the classroom. I've done things like worked with our English teachers to create book trailers for books that they have read out in GarageBand and iMovie. Also with the science teachers doing reporting out on scientists that they've studied, or we're using GIMP in the art classroom.
What's GIMP?
It's like,
No, it's okay.
Like Photoshop.
Okay.
So they can modify pictures and edit them. So I've worked in collaboration with teachers to use some of the tools to have products for the students. I've also gone in and worked with teachers to use like database resources and things like that. So to help students with information literacy and showing that the library is not just the books on the shelves, but it's actually a digital world that they have access to. And so those are some of the things I've done. Can you think of other things I've
done?
Well,
the other things our teachers do regularly is we're making the move slowly away from print materials into electronic materials. And so you'll find a number of our classrooms where our textbooks are resources, and the teachers have put together a multitude of online resources and things for them for the students to use. So in our science areas especially, I can't think of a teacher that goes with a textbook. Everything is done with electronic resources. Our math department at both high schools, they've done a lot of work with developing podcasts in that flipped classroom model, where they are creating their small lessons and putting them online, and the students have them available to them when they're at home, maybe doing their homework, and they can actually see something and help them remember what they're supposed to do in math.
And that was a concept that was talked about at the Blended Learning Institute yesterday, which was very interesting to me, this idea that maybe you're taking that traditional lecture, listening to it or watching it at home, and then doing the traditional homework aspect, but that's in the classroom.
Exactly. Right. And what we're finding, and as schools are doing this across the world, basically, but across the nation, what we're finding is that students have access to these resources, and whether they're on the bus going to a game, or they are, heading to work and they're riding with someone, they can listen to their content, and they can do it with their earphones, and they've got it, and boom, this 5 minutes, I have it. I've built that background knowledge. When I get to class the next day, I'm able to apply that in what the teacher's asking me to do.
And is it difficult to get teachers to listen to those lectures? I mean, just like with homework, not every kid's going to do their homework, but...
Right. And anytime you deal with motivation and learning, whether it's the homework or listening to these, it's all a matter of, as Carol said, it's a matter of creating a world that they're engaged in, and they have the idea that, yes, I want to know this, and what is it that I want to know? And we do that by building a context for their learning, and so that it makes sense for them. And so as you move into flipped classrooms or really into more project-based learning, as you make that move, the students are more engaged because they see the connections of the content to something else.
And I think, too, that the district has done a wonderful job having resources accessible to the students. So it might not even be like a homework as in after school, but during their study halls they have access to computers and like we have iPads and things like that. So the student can go to math class or, you know, it's right before math class, they still have to do their homework, come into the library or another resource room in the building and watch what they need to watch.
So if a student doesn't have a computer at home or internet access.
Right. So that's our job, too, is to make sure that the accessibility is there for every student so you can take down the barriers for a flipped classroom scenario. So
what has it been like, Cindy, working with different teachers, and Vicki too, probably, within La Crosse schools, maybe teachers who have been doing almost the same thing for 20 years, and then now you have younger teachers coming in. Has that been a challenge at all?
I think it's been a challenge, but I think the education in general, the culture is changing from a teacher-centered perspective to a student-centered perspective. And as the culture is changing, it just seems to go hand in hand that the tools and resources that we have out there to make it more student-centered, it becomes easier, and it just seems like the right thing to do.
And we found that our teachers with experience, who are excellent teachers, are able to utilize these resources as they would any resource. And the new teachers coming in know the technology, but they're learning how to be good teachers. And so the partnership between the two just makes for a real, real powerful experience. And building those relationships between those two groups of people demonstrates to the students as well how you build a collaborative learning environment. And they can model it for them as well as ask them to do it.
You're listening to Newsmakers. My guests today are Vicki Lyons. She's the Director of Technology with the School District of La Crosse. Cindy Halter is the Library Media Specialist at Central High School, and Carol Angel is a UWL Professor of Special Education. Carol, I want to ask you, as someone who is teaching the future teachers, what has the challenge been for you in changing the way that almost the whole educational system is thought about?
We have turned the way we prepare teachers essentially upside down and reformulated everything. The other big challenge that we have at the university level is we don't service just one school district. We service districts within a 50-mile-plus radius. Therefore, all of those wonderful things you just heard about in terms of technology, we have to multiply times each district. So that means we have to make sure that we have our hands on all different kinds of softwares and hardware and make sure the students at least have had the exposure. As a faculty member, I went through school myself with the old model. So that means I have to really change the way I think about things because typically we teach how we were taught. So that means we really need to change the paradigm, change the perspective, which means we as faculty go through the same thing that the teachers do. Mm-hmm. We go through professional development. We go through periods of trial and error, and we work with our students more on a team, not as the expert.
That's what I was wondering, if a lot of mm-hmm. the younger students, college-age students, have a lot of ideas as far as how the shift is going.
Sure. We set things up. We give them a problem. Here's our problem. What's out there? How can we solve this? And so the students, the candidates, actually help us solve the problems.
Interesting. And then since your specialty is in special education, how will this model maybe help with special ed?
It really allows the students in the PK-12 setting that have special needs to be in that classroom a whole lot longer. The old system was they have a disability. That meant can't. therefore they were removed. This allows students to stay in the classroom, work with their peers at their levels, and actually remediate those disability areas so they don't become such a barrier and a burden.
I would just imagine that would just change so many lives for in the future.
In some ways, it equals the playing field.
It really does. And students who have that opportunity to, even though they may need a help here or help there, they're part of their peer group. And they don't even know sometimes that they have those issues anymore because their strengths are able to be dealt with as well. So they're able to succeed with their strengths, just like I have strengths and I have weaknesses. They're able to really build on those and understand them as well as understand their weaknesses better. And that's what a student-centered classroom also brings, is that individual students are able to really reflect upon what they can do and what they need to do and where they're going. So we're hoping that in the school district of La Crosse, as we move to this model of blended learning, as well as we move to more of an individualized learning environment, and we provide those choice and options for our parents to have them come and have their students experience what we have in La Crosse, that all those things will make for students who are happier in their educational environment.
Are there any concerns with what this could mean to school budgets down the line, with state funding and being sort of uncertain? And I mean, I know there are grants out there, but with this increase in technology, are schools worried that we're going to have to purchase iPods or iPads or more computers, or is everything going to be okay?
Well, I think every school district struggles with this question, and the school districts in our region are answering it in different ways. We have schools that are doing one-to-one programs. We have schools that are doing different things. But in the school district of La Crosse, we're trying to utilize the resources that we already have available to us. And we've been lucky over the years that our community has provided us dollars through a technology referendum, our operating referendum, that let us purchase the technologies that we need. We know that going forward, we're going to need a partnership. And we're going to need a partnership with our learners and with our families. And we will work with that, and we will figure out, okay, how do we do this in the long term? Because many of our kids carry devices. Many of them already have internet-accessible devices. And so we are doing some things in the school district to figure out how those devices can be utilized as supplemental in our classrooms and what we can do with them. We've had some success in some of our schools, and we hope to build on that as well.
You both have been working, it seems like, pretty hard on looking towards the future and incorporating blended learning into the La Crosse public schools. But as a whole, is La Crosse's schools and is UWL, are they ready for the next generation of students?
We have to be. I think, we talk often, and Cindy can talk about this a little bit more, but we talk often that our planning is for our kindergartners coming in. And because of what we need to do to make that happen, and because of the other things that happen around us, the testing changes that are happening and all of those pieces. So we have to stay focused on the kids that keep coming to us and watching and seeing where we go. So I think that our staff and our leadership in the school district is very committed to this. We have staff members that are energized by the opportunity to do something that really meets these kids' needs. So I think that this is a positive for where we are.
I think it's very invigorating. I think, if you can't be in the business of education if you're not always learning yourself and moving with the students and meeting them where their needs are and helping them become great, productive citizens. I mean, it gives me chills just talk about that. I mean, those of us who are in it because we're passionate about it, just embrace what's here and make it work and make sure that our students are educated. So I don't see any challenges. I think there's definitely people who are finding it challenging, but I think there's a lot of people who are invigorated by it and will help them along. So, I mean, I think that's with any place.
Probably like where the collaboration comes
in. Yeah.
And what about at UWL, Carol?
Partnerships. We've really worked hard to not only get the hardware and software, but it's building the partnerships with each of the school districts. Because we not only have one clientele, the teacher candidate that we're educating, but we also have to keep the PK-12 student in mind. So we kind of have double duty. Budgets, That's very difficult, and the times that we're in makes it even more difficult. But as teachers, we seem to hunker down and do what we need to do with what we have. And when we see an outlet, we quick grab it. With grant material, that's great, but developing those lines of sustainability, I think, is where our focus will be.
What about the rest of the state of Wisconsin and its school districts, or even the rest of the country? I mean, is La Crosse ahead of the game? Are you where you need to be at, or?
I think La Crosse Schools is right in the game. I think that you can find school districts in this region as well as across the state and the nation who in some areas probably look like they're doing a whole lot better. They've in terms of technology and access and those kinds of things. But I think overall we have really a commitment to good instruction here. And with that commitment to instruction, the tools, the technologies, whether we use paper, pencil, cardboard, or we use the latest computer, all right, all of those things will come and go. But you'll see the districts in this region start moving, and they are starting to move into the blended learning environment. The eastern part of the state has done more work in the whole virtual education realm. We have done here where we're developing virtual education programs within our schools to serve our own kids.
Can you explain virtual education a little more?
Virtual education is that next step beyond blended learning. Virtual education is when you're doing an online class where you don't see your teacher. And so we have that program in La Crosse Schools, but that's where we see the blended learning piece so important, because we still want to have these children in front of us. We want to build that community. We want to build those social skills, deal with the social emotional needs of our students and our families and our community. So all of that together brings us to the point where we have a continuum of learning and working with these technologies in a different way.
Do you think that over time, you're going to have to be constantly, almost on an annual basis, evaluating where students are at as far as technology goes and attention spans?
I think definitely. I think it's an ongoing process. It's you're always reflecting where you've been and where you need to go, and that's not new. We've always evaluated our students and assessed where they're at and where they need to be, so...
In addition to that, we also need to assess ourselves. What I use this coming fall will probably be outdated next fall. So that means I have to continually reflect not only on how well did my students do and how well did I prepare them, but how well am I prepared to guide them in that learning.
I think that we're more aware of the differences of learning in our students today than we may have been a number of years ago. And so that brings to the forefront the differences of who these students are, much more so than when we expected, you know, us to adapt to that environment. We are now expecting ourselves to adapt to the learning styles of the students coming in. So we're just a little more aware of what that all looks like.
Interesting. Well, is there anything else that the three of you would like to talk about at all? Closing remarks, Cindy?
Well, thank you for allowing us to be here and talk about blended learning. It's exciting. It's definitely going to be the future, and I look forward to see how it all comes out.
Vicki?
Well, and from the School District of La Crosse perspective, I think that we have started on a path here. We have put resources into place to support our teachers with this move, as well as to support our students. And like Cindy said, it's an exciting time. And I think that as our families and our students their needs are met more and more, we're going to see them even be more involved in our educational environment, and that's exciting.
And Carol?
It truly is an adventure. Teaching is definitely a profession that never is stagnant, and we are just on the very edge. I can't wait to see what happens in the next 10 years, 15 years.
Carol Angel is a special education professor at UW La Crosse. Vicki Lyons is the Director of Technology for the La Crosse School District, and Cindy Halter is a Library Media Specialist at La Crosse Central High School. They joined me for a panel discussion about blended learning, a concept that encourages teachers to incorporate more forms of technology into the traditional classroom setting. You're listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Coming up next, summer is a popular time to take a vacation, but it's not a popular time to give blood. We'll talk with the American Red Cross and the Blood Center of Wisconsin about the work they do where the blood they collect goes and why they don't work together better to promote blood donation. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. We also welcome your comments and ideas. Simply follow the links on our archives page at wpr.org/lacrosse. Newsmakers is also on Facebook. Updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more. Like us at WPR Newsmakers on Facebook.